everybody. Welcome to a 2019 edition of Yale Bulldog Hour. Kevin Russell alongside here as always until 3. CG will take over at that point, bring you to 6 o'clock, and then it is Fresno State basketball night on both the main stick, 940, and the Deuce, our sister station, 790. Coach Q, who we'll talk to in just a moment, and Paul will have the men's game with the tip-off show at 6:15, and then at 7 o'clock, a raucous crowd at the Event Center, which used to be, when it first opened up in San Jose, started in the 90s, the SUREC, the Student Union Recreation and Event Center. They just shortened it to the Event Center immediately thereafter, and it is a wonderful facility and will, of course, be filled tonight if you count blue plastic seats. I'm going to guess there are going to be more Bulldog fans there, or close to it, than we're going to see. I know Tim Schiller's bringing a bus up. We're going to see a more than representative Fresno State crowd vis-a-vis the always struggling Spartans. We'll see how it goes tonight. Tip-off show 6:15, tip at 7, hang on our air. The game is also on the Mountain West digital offering tonight. And then at the same time, the women are home against San Jose State at Save Mart Center over on 790 as Randy Rosenblum will have that call for you. Both games at 7 o'clock, and we'll dissect all of it tomorrow with Jackson and with Daryl. And today we're going to talk to Coach Q in just a moment, who is either in San Jose or on his way there. And then CG will join me, as always, on a Wednesday for transition. And I promise you, whatever we don't get to transition-wise today, we will get to when CG and myself talk in the 3 o'clock hour on Friday, as we'll try to break down as many emails as possible at tdad1@att.net. TDAD, the number one, at att.net. All right. The aforementioned Coach Q, our good friend, outstanding color analyst for Fresno State men's basketball on 940, and one of the great players this Valley has ever seen. Back in the 50s when I used to watch him play. Let's bring Q up right now. Mark, how you doing?
I'm a little old, but I'm doing all right, Tony.
I killed both of us at the same time because I put you in the 50s and then admitted I could have watched you at that time. I should have rephrased that. I'm doing great, Mark. How is the new year treating you so far?
Well, so far, so good, Tony. I can't complain. And, looking to have a big 2019 and, just keep on going. So I'm excited to be driving up to San Jose to start conference tonight. See what happens with the Dogs.
Well, I'll tell you what, it may be, and you know this from your years playing and coaching, maybe what happened against Utah Valley was a wake-up call that was necessary. Or then again, a lot of coaches will tell you, Mark, the only great object lesson are object lessons in close victories. That's what Tark used to say. He said, I don't take anything good out of a loss. Give me a close win, I'll find something good to say about, but not after we lose. Were there things about, I mean, look, you look at the free throw line, and it was an aberration. The Bulldogs aren't going to shoot that bad. They're a much better free throw shooting team. But beyond that kind of stuff, the poor shooting percentage, the old make or miss league we talk about with the NBA all the time, Mark, was there something, anything in that Utah Valley game that you say, you know what, it needs to be addressed. It wasn't an aberration. It is a brewing problem for this team as we head to conference tonight.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of gaps they have. And interior defense at times is a real big issue. And, when teams run their offense against the big, through the post at times, backdoor cuts or post facing up and attacking the interior defense will probably need to get stronger. They really struggle defensively at times, keeping dribble penetration out. And yet, with those two glaring gaps, they were still able to keep the game close. This Utah Valley team was the toughest one on this seven-game home stretch. The guy could coach. He's got mature guards, strong guards. You're out without Deshaun Taylor. They play a pace. He's a Rick Pitino, disciple, played for Rick, won a national championship with him at Kentucky. So this was the storm where the pace was going to be equal, and then you don't have Deshaun there to put on one of their better guards, stop the dribble penetration. And every time you looked up at this game, when things got a little tight, the guard was going to the hole, creating havoc. And yet, like you said, they missed free throws they normally don't miss. They were still in a great position to win it. But by no means was this, even though we haven't really heard much of Utah Valley, every year, Mark Polk plays a very difficult schedule. So by the time you see him, this is a risky game to play because they're so seasoned at this time of the season. They're right. experienced. They're going to do well in the WAC. If you win the game, it helps you with your net. But you have to play. You have to take chances like this. And, you know, I applaud them for taking a chance. I mean, it's too bad that it wasn't a known name school, but the people in the basketball world know that this team will go out and play a tough schedule every year, so they're ready at this late date.
Yeah, Mark, it's such a great point. We have talked mainly in football, but it is applicable in basketball as well, as you're well aware, that as a mid-major, what you'd like to do is play teams who aren't that good but have great name recognition. The converse is the last thing you want to play is somebody who's pretty good that doesn't have name recognition, because they are the worst of both worlds for you. You're playing a team that maybe nationally isn't respected, yet they can beat you. And this is what right. happened to Fresno State with the game. But I do have to wonder, since you and I had talked, and I've mentioned this, and it's been a couple of weeks because of schedule for you and I to get back together, about whether there was an at-large hanging around. Probably not anyway, but that kind of loss on Saturday, in your mind, does it refocus by saying, you know what, let's remember what we're here to do, which is between now and March, improve as much as possible to get ready for that conference run. Yeah, we want to win the regular season, but if the NCAA is our goal, let's not be sidetracked by wins in December, because they probably weren't going to make a difference in March as far as the committee is concerned. Is that fair to say now?
Well, I don't know if that was their issue in terms of why they lost, or you have to have that attitude, right? We got to go out and stay focused. I agree with that. I didn't think this team got cocky. I just think they just got beat. And there's a difference. I think they still, even though they had these gaps, they still played hard. They still played together. They missed shots, yes. They could do a lot of some things better defensively. But I don't think there's been a lack of focus. There was a lack of Deshaun Taylor.
Right.
And so that's a really good question. Tricky for me to answer, because you didn't have the guy there that understands and is vocal about the point that you just made.
Yeah, that's fair, Mark.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, when I'm talking about the talk, I don't mean the team talking about it. I mean media-wise. Is it time to put it to bed? Maybe I didn't phrase that well.
No.
Is it time for us then to look at that and say, okay, we talk about the winning streak, but it was all at home. And while it was impressive, particularly because this is a new group with a new coach, and you played so well at the Legacy, was there a bit of a reality check, I guess is what I'm getting at, in saying, okay, this team is going to have to get it done more than likely if you want the NCAAs in March. It's going to have to get done in Vegas. Conference is important. It could lock up an NIT bid, but let's not get ahead of ourselves as a fan base and a media entity. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly shows. People shouldn't be getting that far ahead at all, right? Especially if Deshaun's out, you know, so it's unrealistic for this team to do what they've been doing without DT. But I will say this, to your point, they've done better than any of us could ever imagine with having put a team together that was left for him. You know, he didn't have time to put pieces together. This isn't the most talented Fresno State team, but it is a very good team. They do play well together. And that's what's creating the excitement amongst all of us in the media, is how long can he keep this going? And you're right, sometimes a loss like this shows you how delicate it is, the balance is, and if someone like Deshaun is out, how it can really affect the team, if they, you know, they don't have the deodorizer to clean things up without Deshaun out there. And Coach Hudson was similar to the great Coach Tarkanian. He said, "Hey, I don't want to learn anything off of a loss. I think we can learn a lot off of a close win." So he's in agreement with that philosophy, Coach Tarkanian. But I do know that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he also sounded like Tark when he said this game was like a toothache. That is something that Tark would have said, too.
You're right. It was like you could feel it early on that any time a team has really experienced guard play, it's going to create issues. It just is, because Fresno State does not have the depth at the guard situation, at the guard position, and they don't really have size. You know, Deshaun's not a big guard. He's not a true one. Noah's not a big guard. He's coming up from the Big West. He doesn't have the body type of some of these other guards. Now, he's outplayed a few guys who are bigger and stronger and faster than him. But when he got challenged the other day, it was a struggle for him. And then New's not a very big guard. So when you get experienced, strong guards that are quick and that the coach gives them the freedom to play, it creates challenges because you don't have the depth and the size, and maybe in some ways the foot speed defensively to guard those people. And that was really an issue. Those guards were really getting after
them. You know, Mark, you're right. The other thing is, when I talk about the emailers and particularly about were we going to be a top 25 team, were we going to, you know, lock something up going into March, that is the reality check we're talking about. It doesn't mean that this team, if they were to have a brilliant conference March, somehow get past Nevada twice, for goodness sake, and find out to win the conference. I'm not saying they can't find a gift at their door before the conference tourney, which was always what you wanted to see, because you know the pressure-packed nature of playing three or in some cases four games in a very compressed period of time. Just one bit of foul trouble, one make or miss kind of game where you don't make shots and you're out. But this did tell you that this team is going to battle every game, but it is not going to be easy, including tonight. As much as I would love to say this is going to be 40 minutes of a lot of fun and you're going to win by 25, it's still going to be problematic, in my opinion. And you bring up Deshaun. I know I've heard that he may very well be ready tonight. Are you hearing that?
I've heard that he could be ready for the night, but if he is, whenever he's ready, they're going to really monitor his minutes, and he may only play 10 to 15 to 20 minutes. So that's the other thing on there, is that when you bring him back in, how does that shift the balance of power on the team? I mean, Deshaun is an alpha male that has a chip on his shoulder. And he wants to be the man. Were they playing better as a team when he was hurt for a little bit? And then you see what happens after a while. Teams start to scout. They start to understand your team better. And they attack the areas where Deshaun really, really made you strong. So I think it'd be nice to have him back in, because they're going to have some tough games coming up. And he's, you know, but also if they don't rest him the right way, you know, is he here for Nevada? Because you need him that night for sure.
And this is a challenging schedule to start, particularly in your first four. You've got Nevada. You also have a trip to Logan. And then a couple of winnable games tonight in Colorado State, games that you figure to win. But, Q, I got to ask you about this tonight. The environment, you know this from being up there many times, is not conducive to having energy being created for you by the crowd. You got to bring it yourself, and that's something that Deshaun brings. So if he's not playing, that's another issue. But beyond that, when you look at a team in San Jose State from a coaching point of view who had a couple of respectable losses, like they only won a couple of games, Bethune-Cookman in Northern Arizona. They had a very bad record, but in their later games, they had respectable losses at Cal and Stanford, and then they were blown out in the last game by St. Mary's by 30, which is understandable. If you're a coach, do you at all, since you know players can pop on the Internet themselves and their smartphone and check it out, do you address these last three and say, ignore what happened against the Gales, look at what they did against Cal or Stanford, whether within single digits, or do you not even address it? What do you do as a coach?
Well, I think you have to address it, because I think your point of social media, well, that's taken a lot out of it, hasn't it? I mean, used to at one time, 20 years ago, you had to really do a lot of research to find out what was happening. you know, you had to, you know, you couldn't watch it on the internet or stuff like that. So I think you have to address all of those points. You know, here's what they're like when they play well. Here's what they're like when they don't play well. How do we make them play like they played against St. Mary's? So that's going to be a real challenge, you know. And I wonder how they handled that there. I'm sure they handled it well, but it depends, again, on the personalities on your team, too, you know. Deshaun's not going to look at it like that. You know, they know it's conference. I think they're really focused on doing really well in conference. I think they were insulted by being chosen fifth. Right. I think Braxton Huggins and Deshaun want to go, really, really want to go. And Sam Bittner, they want to go to the NCAA tournament. They really want to go. So I know that winning conference is important to them, and I think that they have a mentality of, you know, step by step, this is the first game into that step. So I feel like they're going to look at this like, hey, you know, San Jose State can be dangerous, and if we don't do what we need to do, they have been up at San Jose before and lost a couple of years ago. So they'll remember that night as well when they came up here and they got beat. And then you never know, the officiating can go a certain direction. You know, I thought there were some calls the other night that really played a factor in the game early in terms of penetrating to the hole and Braxton Huggins getting clobbered a few times, not getting a call. And I think that sometimes that can make a difference. But in total, to your question, I think you're absolutely right. I think you have to address it. And you have to have guys on your team that understand, and it's not hard to have that understand, hey, this is conference. This is a brand new season. Whatever we have to do to walk out of here 1-0 today, that's what we need to do.
You know, Mark, you're right. And you bring up something that has been kind of the backstory throughout the time playing up in this facility since the start of the 90s. Tark had the one disastrous night there against an awful San Jose State team and a great Bulldog team. And there have been nights at the event center that have been almost inexplicable for Fresno State. I mean, there have been times when they've been up by 20-plus, and all of a sudden you turn around, it's a one-possession game late. It's not an intimidating place to play, but as I was bringing up earlier, is it emotionally a flat place to play, particularly, and I hope you see a lot of the fan base, Schiller's taking, you know, a bus up there. If you don't have a lot of your crowd and you know most of their crowd's not going to be there, how much do you have to fight yourself? We've talked about it in football. But in basketball, is it tougher to lose yourself in the game because of the proximity? Football, you can kind of, you know, black out the crowd if you need to emotionally. You're removed. But when you're right there and you can see nobody's around you, what does it do to you as a player?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it can... You know, certain guys, they're just happy to play, you know, but basketball, you know, sports is a show-off deal. You know, you want to play in front of a bunch of people, and if there's no energy in there, sometimes it is tough to get motivated, especially if you feel like you're the better team. Some interesting things about this event center, which is, I think, for a shooter. So, I'm coaching you, and you're my shooter coming off hitting threes. First half, you're probably going to shoot a lot better than the second half because the second half, you're going to be on the west court, which I believe is much darker. So
yeah,
the light adjustment is different. So you have to be aware of that as a coach and a staff and make sure your shooters get a good warm-up and they can adjust. It's a weird place to play, really it is. And you hope that a couple of NBA scouts are starting their conference Mountain West scouting time tonight. So, like, oh, Fresno State's coming up. You know, I want to see Braxton Huggins play. I don't have to fly there anywhere. I don't have to drive 3 hours to Fresno. I'll go there. So you hope a couple of those guys walk in because sometimes that's the inspiration for players, too. I want to play well in front of the scouts.
You know, Q, it's so true, particularly with the Warriors G League team in Santa Cruz. There's a lot of that rotating around, kind of taking a look at players in the league you might want to acquire, particularly prior to the trading deadline, which is coming up on February 7th. for right. the league itself, which brings more scouts around to the South Bay area where you get a look. And I hope that does excite Fresno State. I know this. Hutt, as a player, was used to playing in front of less than great crowds on the road, but an enthusiastic crowd at home at Cal State Bakersfield. So he understands how to get these guys ready. And I would think what happened Saturday is motivation alone. And I did want to ask you, if Taylor comes back, if he was more than anything else, that inability to have him out there, responsible for an 18-28 at the line. I mean, how in the world can this team that should shoot it so well at the free throw line because they're guard-oriented, how could they have that bad a night? Did you have Utah Valley just fouling the right people? Is that what happened?
Tony, it blacked out for half a second. Can you just repeat the question?
Yeah, I was just asking about the 18-28 at the line against Utah Valley. Without Deshaun there to handle the basketball in critical moments, yeah. did it mean that Utah Valley was able to get the right guys from their point of view on the line, so it wasn't so much guys shot poorly that are supposed to shoot it well at the line, the wrong guys got to the line? Because that's an issue, not having Deshaun there to handle that basketball all the time.
Well, they made, you know, they fouled guys in the offense, but if you got Deshaun there, you're probably doing something different offensively, and he, you know, he's going to create a vast amount of fouls for himself if he feels like his shot isn't falling or if he feels like Fresno State's shots aren't falling. He's going to get to the line. So in that regard, yes, it's a huge difference because the guy who will have the ball in his hand is Deshaun. And make you fouling, you know, they were behind, so they Utah Valley didn't have to foul. You know, they fouled, right. you know, different guys on one and first in, the one and ones and all that kind of stuff. So it became a loss of possession. But do those guys have the ball if Deshaun's playing that, you know, that night? You know, Deshaun may be the guy for free throw line. I think that's a really good point.
Particularly when I look down the list and guys that are supposed to shoot it well, Huggins was 5 of 7, not great, but good enough. You know, Blackwell was 2 for 2, but then I see that, and Bittner was 4 for 4. But what I see between Grimes and Agal, this is why I asked, between the two, they were 4 of 11. And also, as you know, when you look at 4 of 11, you also have to look at how many times that was the front end of 1-1, which not only cost you that, it cost you the second throw, too. So, you know, that tells me that they were able to foul guys that aren't great at the line. Deshaun, as you brought it up, Q, and you're right on the money. I don't want to put everything on Deshaun not being there, but there's no question. And we saw it where he was forcing it at times last year because he didn't have the manpower around him. He is the alpha male. He is the guy that will attack. He is the guy who will say to the defense, you can knock me on my ass every time, but I'm going down the lane, and I'm going to the line, and I'm hitting two, and I'm going to make you pay. That is missing. Does it have to be there in conference? I'm beyond tonight. Is it just, does it have to be Deshaun at close to full health for this team to be the kind of team that we hope they can be during February and March? What's the bottom line? And all the way even from the start right now in January.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you need him to be great. I mean, you know, he's got to have it. Yeah. Your chances with your are you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Mark. I know it's tough to hear on the cell, and sometimes I'm not hearing you either. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I'm driving through the worst part of I-5. But
right.
The Deshaun has to be... You know, I think he gives you your best chance to win, and I think you hit it right on the head. That's how I'm looking at it as a coach. He's the guy, and he's driven to want to have that pressure on him. And he's practiced so that when it gets late, instead of shooting fadeaways, he's going through the defense so he can get fouled because he wants to be at the free throw line shooting 2 free throws. He's not trying to hit circus shots for the most part. He's trying to be so aggressive. And that's how you win.
The last thing, Mark, about the game tonight, and I know it's tough to hear, so I'll make this the last thing, and I hope you guys have a great broadcast.
I'm not even at the Pacheco Pass.
Hey, there have been times when you've been talking and I couldn't hear you either, so it's just working both ways. It's the beauty of digital cells. Let's go back to analog. Sure, we need more towers, but come on. But you only have two guys in double digits in Stedman and Ivy. Nobody is blowing the doors off for San Jose State. Like I said, they have not had a good record. They haven't had very many good years lately. They can be pesky. Anything in particular about the roster Fresno State faces tonight that you're worried about?
No, I think it's the environment you're walking into. You know, that's what I feel. There's something about that place, the environment, always worries me. It's just dead. And if you're not used to playing in a dead environment, it could be hard.
And are you figuring that this team, and I wanted to ask this, as a look at the four games coming up, do you figure this team is going to get at least three of the four, or would a split be a good start, meaning a San Jose State, Colorado State that you can beat? Are you looking for this team to win at Logan or be able to beat Nevada? Are you saying 2-2 is about where you think they're going to be?
Ooh, I hadn't gotten that far out. The reason, and I try to guard against that because
that's coaching stuff. I get that. Yes, I understand.
Yeah. But the reason why I haven't looked at it like that is because I don't know where your best player is going to be at.
That's true.
You know, I don't want to say something that he's out for another week. Then, you know, maybe you're happy that you win a game. You know, if he's back full board, maybe you say, hey, look, I think we can beat everyone. So that's gonna depend on where your personnel lies at, and where other teams lie at. You know, look at Las Vegas. You know, they lost a couple of their players to injury, or they're hurting bad. So it changes everything. But if Deshaun's there, you know, and depending on how well he's playing at that point, because there's a lot of X factors that I don't want to give you a bunch of jive coach talk, but. You know, when you don't know where your best player is at, you gotta say, hey, I just hope we can squeak out whatever we can. You know, we got to get through tonight. That's what coaches got to be thinking.
Yeah, that's a coach talking right there. Also, Mark, have a great one. I will tell you this: the fact that you get this game in Colorado State at home, those are your first two. If you can get Deshaun healthy and get through these two, then when you go to Logan and then when you have Nevada come in, then I really like this team a lot more as opposed to flip-flopping the schedule. I would hate to be opening at Logan, then hosting Nevada while you're waiting on Deshaun. So if they can get him back even for limited minutes tonight and get out of the event center with a win, I consider that a major victory on many fronts.
So. Yeah, this place is the dark hole. You're right, Tony. And you know, remember in a couple of years ago that Nevada came up here for the first game.
Yes, that's right.
In that spot.
Yeah, they had a game that almost got away, that they had to scramble madly, if you remember, against San Jose State.
Yes.
It was, yeah, and only the Spartans cooperating probably saved them. Yeah, look, I look at everything from a jump shooting perspective. You're right, that's a lousy place to be shooting jump shots from 30. That's all I can tell you.
You got that right, especially in the second half.
You need glow-in-the-dark ribs. That's what you need. So go ahead and proffer that. They can get the paint and go ahead and paint them green. It'll be fine, and they'll glow the whole time. Hey, Mark, have a safe trip the rest of the way, my friend, and I will certainly be in touch. Take care. Have a great one tonight.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for enduring the blackouts. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I'll see you. All right, guys. Our good friend Mark Hugh Jones. Again, he is at the difficult place everybody knows who heads up to San Jose or Santa Clara, what have you. You know, if you were up there to watch the 49ers win four times this year. I'm sorry. Between they and the Raiders, eight wins between them. How painful is that? The Rams win more by themselves. They and the Chargers just killed the 49ers and the Raiders when it came to W's this year. But the trip to the South Bay Area, it's always fraught with 152 cell problems, that's for sure. All right, guys, take a break. Come back with CG, transition time, and then CRISPR comes up. At 3 o'clock, he'll take you 3 to 6, tip-off show, Paul and Q, 6:15 on 9:40, and then 7 o'clock, the women host of San Jose State at SMC with Randy on 790. And also keep in mind, Q will be with CG, as always, on a Thursday to break everything down tomorrow. We'll talk to Jackson and the Daryl about basketball tomorrow as well. Take a break on 50,000 Watt, 940 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back. 2:37 here until 3. CG will take over CGP to 6. 6:15, Paul, Coach Q, and the tip-off show, 7 o'clock from the Event Center, Fresno State and San Jose State. The game is also available on the Internet through the Mountain West. And speaking of San Jose State, with the reciprocal schedule, the women will be hosting the Spartans at the same time, 7 o'clock at Save Mart Center. Randy will have that game on the Deuce, our sister station, 790. Also, tomorrow when we talk with Jackson, he will be able to give us firsthand account because he'll be there tonight to cover the game. And when Daryl comes up, I want to talk a little bit about Paul George, who is back in Los Angeles, and I'm sure the come here signs would still be up if Paul wouldn't have signed on long term at OKC. And the Thunder in tonight, so homecoming for he and Westbrook, and LeBron will not play tonight as he still has the issue with the pulled groin that he suffered on Christmas Day. All right, let's bring up CG right now in transition with the promise that what we don't get to from the older list, and there's an old list, maybe, there's the one that we had that we didn't get through all of last Friday. We will get to that this Friday, I promise, at 3 o'clock, and hopefully we'll get through the new ones today as I bring CG up. Christopher, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you. I may need you to send that again because I used it to start a fire in my fireplace.
That's
and
good.
I can't find it now.
Yeah, my wife did that with our marriage certificate.
Wow.
Probably. At least that was her story. So, you know what? Maybe I'm too trusting.
But,
I'm already 2019 and I'm already in trouble.
Well, you know, a lot of people are. Coach Q was saying is right. I remember the San Jose State football game there a couple of years ago, and all of you have a lot more experience with this than I do, but it was like a high school game. I mean, you could hear individual people in the crowd ordering hot dogs from vendors. I mean, it was just, it's a dead environment, and it is the thing as a coach or as a player, you, if anything, you want a packed arena with people screaming at you versus nobody there.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know that from playing. Pat used to talk about going into when Tulsa had that very flat period. Tulsa had good football programs in the 60s, 70s. They've had good programs as of late, but there was a period of time when they were in conference together with Fresno State, started the 2000s, where you could hear a pin drop, and Pat used to say, I hate going in there because I know it's going to seem like a scrimmage, and until we're down 14, everybody's not going to realize that they're keeping score.
Yeah, he's right.
It's something that you battle. I'll tell you the one advantage Fresno State has tonight, and that is with some people still off of work for the rest of this week, you could theoretically get a more than representative Bulldog crowd of a few hundred plus that can actually take over the building.
Yeah.
That's the good news, right?
True. So, absolutely right, yeah.
Where is our good drum-pounding friend in San Jose? If people know who I'm talking about, Crazy George. Crazy George, yeah.
Guy is 137 years old and he looks great.
That's right. We wanted to make fun of Crazy George. Then we found out he was like an eighth-degree judo champion, and we decided it wasn't a good idea to make fun of his nominees.
It's like our promotions director, Vivian. She's a second degree, and people walk by and say, can I get you anything to drink? Do you need some food today?
There you go. Exactly. All right. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. Again, 6:15, the pre, and then CG will have a Q with him tomorrow in the alphabet game coming up at 3:05.
That's right.
All right. Let's get to the emails, tdad1@att.net. We'll do the best we can. TDAD, the number one, at att.net. Comes right to me. We have the opportunity today, and then we will have the 3 o'clock hour on Friday. Malcolm asks, so did we learn anything yesterday about Central Florida on the field of play that we didn't already know regarding its true national big boy credibility or lack thereof? CG, what did you take away from what happened to the undefeated no longer streak going on with the Knights?
Yeah, I took away a few things. Number one, I'm going to bounce around a little bit here. Number one, when your guy makes an interception and you absolutely lay out the quarterback to dry and he's down on the ground and you don't know how serious he's injured, and you have a team that's got not one but two guys that come over and trash talk right in his face, maybe it's a little early for that. When it's 14-3 and suddenly they're thinking, hey, you know what? We got these guys. And then before you knew it, the game went from 14-3 to a what was it about 14, something like that. They lit them up.
Yep.
I think what we learned is that UCF can play with middle of the pack P5 schools, and I right now in terms of the way they're constructed, and I think that goes for a Fresno State too. But when you give up 555 yards of offense, they gave up 670 to Temple, they gave up about the same, about 500 plus to Memphis. I think what we saw yesterday is we saw a team in LSU that has speed to match more than Auburn had last year. That is a much more physical team at the line of scrimmage and everywhere else. You had a team that was playing without virtually every defensive back, every defensive back that they would employ, and they still only gave up 120 yards of passing. Granted, it's a backup quarterback, but we had heard from UCF that this kid's fantastic and so on. I think that UCF can play on the big boy level, but I don't think that this idea that they're the second coming of Alabama is ridiculous. And I say that objectively. I know we have some UCF fans in this audience, but look, they had a wonderful streak. It takes a lot of a lot of good things happening your way and a lot of things that you're generating on your own to win 25 in a row. But they play in a conference that is a step below the Power Five. It's that simple. And listen, so is the Mountain West. The Mountain West is a step below the Power Five. That doesn't mean teams like Fresno State or a Boise State or a San Diego State in particular years or Utah State can't play with big boys. But you have to have an upgrade in talent across the board to manage an 8 or 9 game conference schedule. And what I saw from UCF yesterday, I don't see a team that would go with less than 3 or 4 losses in a P5 conference.
And, you know, CG, your points are well taken, and in particular what you just brought up. And this is something that I said about the Boise State teams, one, for instance, going to the Fiesta Bowl and beating Oklahoma on the Statue of Liberty play, all this stuff that we've talked about before. And it also is applicable to Fresno State. If you are at full health, which is always problematic this time of year, I mean, no team is going to be fully healthy, but if you are lucky enough that most of your key players are at least in a position where they can perform well physically, yes, you've got a chance, but it is the wear and tear that causes the lack of depth that is the main issue. That you can go 1 or 2 deep at the mid-major level, that the Power 5 guys go 4 and 5 deep. So what happens by attrition by the end of the year, you can't absorb injury, and they can. And I think that's something that if you could play fully healthy against them, yes, even if they're fully healthy, you're going to have a much better chance the minute you start dipping down. And that happened. I mean, let's face it. You are right about Mac, but they're a different team, and Milton may very well come to play next year. They're a different team when he's a quarterback. But, CG, as you're referencing, you can't make that argument if you're a Knight fan without recognizing who LSU was without. Right? Well, I mean, that's just the bottom line.
It's easy
to say, well, what our guy was back in the hospital bed in Hawaii. True. But a lot of their very best players weren't playing for whatever the reason, and yet they still, like you said, ran away from you for most of the game. And that's galling because I've talked to you about this. Remember we said Tom Flores said as much as the AFL teams, because it wasn't a big league, they played each other a lot. They hated one another until it was time for the Super Bowl, and then it was us against them, right? You put all that aside. If you were a Raider, you pulled like hell for the Kansas City Chiefs to beat Minnesota or the Jets, who you just lost to in a title game, to beat the Colts because that was your credibility. So I think all the group of five probably deep down would like to have seen UCF play well, but you also have to recognize what you're up against.
Well,
just in the matter of depth.
No, you're right across the board, and I'll offer you a parallel, and it's with Georgia and Texas. A lot of Georgia fans, an overwhelming amount of Georgia fans on the internet, on Twitter in particular, were talking, and Georgia media members, and from Athens to Atlanta, were talking about how it was just nonsense that they didn't get in. Look at how well we played against Alabama the last 2 years. We led those 2 games 118 minutes out of 120. Hey, fair point. But if you're a Georgia supporter, Tony, what they seem to overlook mentioning every time is how they got their behinds handed to them when they went to LSU. So if you're going to make a point, if your public stand is going to be, look what we did against Alabama, then it is just as relevant to say, look what we didn't do against LSU. And to the Mackenzie Milton point, listen. That was a horrible injury, and you want nothing but you. I root against teams. I root for players. So do you. So does everybody, I'd like to think. He's a great kid. He's a wonderfully talented quarterback, and you want to see him get back on the field. If it takes 2 years, you want to see him. First of all, you want to see him walking again. You want to see his leg okay again. But you know, the notion that Milton gives them the win, again, people forget, he was in the game that they were down by 17 to Memphis, and for all the money in the world, until the last few minutes of the game, earlier in the year, it looked like they were going to lose to Memphis. Milton had an average game that day, 17 for 29, 296, and one TD. Again, as you just said, and it's why I made the Georgia-LSU-Alabama triad argument, if you're going to say Milton makes the difference, he's the tipper, then you have to look at all. They were down eight guys and then two more that got tossed out. They had 10 players on defense that were out. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander here.
You're right. The other thing is, and this is just my point of view from a competitor's standpoint, right? Pat and I had the conversation about the A court and the B court. We've discussed this, where Pat said, I don't ever, anytime, anybody, anywhere, was because Pat was saying, I do not want to concede to anybody that we're not good enough. Don't tell me right. I belong in the B court, right? If I play the B court, it's because to earn my way to the A court. Anybody ever played pickup basketball at the gyms when the coach opened it up? You know what I'm talking about. You want to get to the A court, the undefeated court. That's where you want to go. You don't want to play on the side courts. You want to play in the big stage. This was a situation where, for UCF in particular, they're on the big stage. They are with an opportunity to prove a point. And I do think one of the things that was really galling was afterward to hear LSU players say, and I don't think even meant it demeaning as it did come out, I really don't think this team could play an SEC schedule. If I'm a player, that hacks me off to no end, even if it might be true, Christopher. I would want to shove that right you know where if I had an opportunity. And that's why I don't understand what happened with Florida. And I do think, even for those people that support UCF that you said are listening and we hear from them, I don't understand why you would say no to Florida the way you did, because it told people you're somehow scared of the game. Whether it's true or not, that's what it told the rest of the nation.
Could not agree with you more. I beat that point home on my program multiple times, and I'll say it from my perspective again. You have not, I'm sorry, you have not, I don't care if it, we could be talking about Fresno State here, or Utah State, or Houston, Cincinnati, or UConn. In this case, we're talking about UCF. So for UCF fans, pay attention, folks. This is not blasting UCF. This is a note to everybody. You've not earned equity yet. That's how it works. And the parallel that I used on social media over the weekend was Gonzaga. When Gonzaga started their slow, methodical, sort of redundant rise in basketball, nobody was willing to play them pretty much anywhere unless Gonzaga came to their gym. But Gonzaga had a sustained level of excellence and production and in the NCAA playoffs, and then people realized these guys are legit. We'll do home and home, or we'll do it, you know, at a pro arena by us, or we'll do it at the Key Arena, the Seattle Center, up by them. For UCF to arrogantly and defiantly and smugly turn their backs on Florida, here's what I would have said. I'll tell you what, Danny White, why don't you agree to the 2-for-1 and then go out and show them. Go out and beat them 2 of 3. Go out and beat them all 3 times. And then from that point forward, you tell everybody who wants to do a 2-for-1 with you to get lost. We just beat Florida 2 out of 3. We just beat the Gators 3 in a row. We don't play the 1-for-1. You come to our place. We come to your place. That's how you do it. You build equity. I'm sorry. The 25-game win streak, it's great. But who were they playing, largely? In that streak, they played 2 legit teams. They beat one. They lost one. As far as I'm concerned, they're a good program. They're a good middle-of-the-road program that rose up the ranks. Their preseason ranking was much higher than they deserved. You know what I'd be interested in doing? I'd love to find out from Steve Levy, who was one of the few people who saw both UCF and Fresno State in person. I'd love to know what our friend Steve thinks about both teams, just out of sheer curiosity.
That's a great point. And, you know, we'll get to the rest of the emails on Friday, I promise, including Bobby and Randy's that just came in for this and the rest, Big Barry in particular. You have plenty of time because your Bears are going to win the Super Bowl. So we can talk about that between now and the start of February.
Barry's right.
But I will leave you with this thought, and it has to do with UCF. And look, you had a team that hadn't won a game at all 2 years ago, very similar to what Fresno State faced coming off of the 16 season. So all due credit to the Knights.
Heck, wonderful job.
And from Frost to Heupel, you're able to maintain stuff. But I will say this, from a mid-major point of view, UCF did reinforce a negative stereotype that I don't like to hear, and that is, this is why you deserve to be in your place. And I think they hurt the rest of the coalition schools that strive for greatness. I think UCF hurt it by turning down Florida.
Good.
Win or
yes,
lose, they
agreed.
Hurt the credibility for everybody across the country. And I think Danny White, if another school, let's say Northern Illinois, would have done that, Danny White would have been the first guy to chime in and go, what are you doing? You're killing us by doing this. Yet he goes ahead and does it anyway. So it's very unfortunate. And it's not the fault of the coaching staff or the players at UCF. It is their administrator who chose to pick this fight and then run from it.
And you know what?
Opinion.
Tony, that's a great point. And why not? You know, you're in Orlando, and here's Gainesville up the road. What a glorious opportunity to show
110 miles.
Yeah.
100
and
us
yes.
to Bakersfield is
to,
what it
to
was.
To show recruits in one of the three most richest states in the country for high school football recruiting that you could say, we just went to their backyard and we beat them. That sets their program on the right track for decades.
Unless you're afraid you're going to lose.
That's
by
right.
40. That's,
yeah. That's it.
Well, there we go. Round and round. Let the emails flow, UCF. I know it's coming again.
That's
I know
okay.
you do, too.
That's I do. I get them. That's okay. Bring them on.
That's fine. That's fine. I respect the program. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
CG, have a great one, my friend. We'll reconvene on Friday.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take a break. Get you ready for CG on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN.